But amen?
Amen.
All right, well,
amen.
Kenny's going to give us a word here, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you're doing. And Lord, that we thank you that we could just come together and worship you, give you praise, and just thank you for our salvation, for the eternal life that we enjoy. And Lord, as we now sit, as we partake from your table, bless Kenny. Bless the word that you laid upon his heart. And Lord, may we be obedient to that word and trust that you're going to use that word some way in our lives or someone else's lives. Father, just bless and anoint him now, we ask, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. What I'm speaking on today is freedom. And that's something that we can all relate to in one way or another. It's something that you see everywhere in one sense or another. So when we talk about freedom, as it's been mentioned here today, the 4th of July is coming up. And for us as a nation, that means something. For some of us, as Pastor John mentioned, it means that we get the barbecue. That's what it means for some of us, that we get the barbecue, that we get a day off of work. How many here get a day off of work? It's a national holiday. Well, Bob, you've been off work for a long time. Amen. You've been celebrating the 4th of July for a long time. Are you barbecuing on the 4th of July? Okay, everybody's invited to Bob's house. You can park on the lawn for free. Right? But you celebrate the coming together. A lot of times it's a time to celebrate with family. How many here is going to celebrate with family on the 4th? There we go. Now we got a show of hands. It's a time that you purposely, intently get together to celebrate, to join together, to come together. And the thing is, I think in the back of our mind, we lose sight of why it is that we're celebrating. That we don't really meditate or think about the cost. That's right, Shane, the cost of the price that was paid for us to be a free nation, to be able to gather together. You know, that cost didn't come cheap. It came with the shedding of blood. Right? It started out by them making a declaration. Now you would think and you would hope that after they made a declaration that things would have been easy. Was that the case? They made a declaration. Right? We know it is the Declaration of Independence. And they signed it. That was all that needed to be done. Sort of like Christianity. We just need to make a declaration unto the Lord. And our life is going to be a piece of cake after that. Has anybody experienced that yet? Pardon me? Brittany? Still waiting. Brittany's still waiting for it to be a piece of cake. You might be waiting a long time. Yep. The day you die, it'll be a piece of cake. But you do make the declaration. That's where it begins, but that's not where it ends. You make the declaration that you're going to serve God, that you accept and believe what it is that he did for you. What is it that he did for you? What is it that he did for you? Shane. Shane doesn't like me calling on him, so I have to call on him. Shane, what is it that he did for you? He died for you. Why would he do that? He did die for us. But why? Why would he die for us? So we could be free. To set the captives free. How many here were ever captive? Okay, how many here are still captive? Anybody still captive? We got some are still captive, some aren't. Right? Let's see what we got here. Let's see, he set us free. Did he set you free, Roger? Yeah. So we're about to celebrate the 4th of July, known as Independence Day. As Americans, we value freedom, don't we? Sometimes we valued it too much. You know, I got my rights. You got your rights, Matthew? Yeah, we got our rights. You hear that? They know as a millennial generation. Oh, yeah, I got my rights. right? Let me tell you what they are. So where did you get those rights from? From Jesus? Okay, then you're going to want to know what the rights are that you have, correct? Our nation was founded on the principle of liberty and justice for all. Our First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion. Is that true? It's supposed to be. Nowadays, it's freedom of every other religion but Christianity. Because Christianity has come under attack. You know? I mean, that's just the way it's portrayed in the world right now. It's like, there it says that we're guaranteed that freedom of religion. Then why is it the Christian comes under attack? Why is it? It's because the truth. It's the truth. And people don't want to hear the truth. They want to make up their own truth. So if you can't have two truths, we got to get rid of one of them. Right? So they want to substitute a lie for the truth. It happens all the time. It's been happening. Amen? It says our First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Freedom of the press. There we go. You got freedom in the press nowadays. Freedom to tell every fairy tale they can think of. You know? My wife, she likes to get up and watch the news. She says, you get up almost every day and watch the fake news. You might as well just make it up yourself. You know? And then she'll rest and in the evening, she'll watch some of her sitcoms, and she'll be like, aren't you going to watch this with me? I say, here's what happens. Okay, I'm going to bed. Well, that's not what happens. I said, well, it's fake anyhow. I'll make up what I want, and I'm going to bed. I says, I'm not going to spend all my time watching fake stuff, made-up stuff. You know, you want to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. You guys are good. Feel like I'm preaching to the choir. Amen? So, as we all know, freedom to assemble. We've assembled here. We're free to assemble here, at least for now. Ricardo's free to cook for us. As long as we don't ask him to make a cake, right? It boggles your mind when you start thinking about freedom and what people think freedom is, you know, and they want to force their freedom on you. It just boggles my mind that even happens, that we live in such a time as this, that people want to say, well, we're free to turn around and say that we're a married couple. And you have to recognize that. No, I don't. I'm free to not recognize that. But now the government wants to step in and say that we're going to have to recognize that. Otherwise, we could be in trouble. Because, no, I'll recognize it, and I do recognize it as sin. It's sin. It might not be any different than any other sin in some sense, but it's still sin. Sin is sin. That being what it said, it's like it's sin. I recognize that. Do we recognize that we're sinners? And that's why Christ set us free. He set us free so that we could be what? Not sinners? Because when I got set free, I was very thankful. I was thankful that, one, that I was going to hell, and I no longer was. That in and of itself was awesome. You know, when you're going down a road and you don't think that road is actually that bad, and you're going down that road and, you know, you kind of see that how life just ain't working out. Why is it all these things are happening and whatnot? And, you know, you can't do what I did and not think otherwise. You know, if I continued down that road, it was either going to be death or prison. Yet I thought I was free to do whatever I wanted. But the freedom that I was experiencing was killing me. It was killing my spirit. It was killing me. And God revealed that to me. That kind of freedom will kill you. You can say, oh, I got my freedom to choose and do the things that I want. I have the ability to choose, right, Matt? To choose to do what I want. Matt has the opportunity to do what he wants. Nobody's denied him the opportunity. Right? Matt has the desire to do that very thing. And you put all that together. The ability, the desire, the opportunity, right? And he starts walking that out. But if at the end of that, it causes the destruction of Matt, what good is that? You have to look at the end of the matter, not just where you're at in the beginning. These people claim to have all this freedom in making the choices that they make. Sometimes we claim to have all this freedom in making the choices that we make, but we never look at the end of the matter. What's the result at the end? They can call it whatever they want. They can say that, you know, this particular sin is not sin. How could it be sin? But if at the end of that matter they end up in hell, what good did it do them? You know, it's a false liberty. It's a false freedom that the enemy portrays and always has. It's a false freedom. It's a false liberty. Are we truly free? If he set the captives free, there was a purpose for that. It was for us to be the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? All right, I'm going to play a song. You guys know that I always like to play a song. And in this particular song, it talks about freedom. And it's a song that once I played it, once I listened to it, you kind of can't get it out of your head. You know, and it's a time to celebrate. I want us to take a look this week as we reflect. Everywhere you see, it's going to be about freedom. It's going to be about independence when it's really about dependence on God. And reflect on that. What it means to having been a captive, having been really on the road to destruction, every one of us, and having Christ set us free. And that was the beginning of him opening that cell door that we could turn around and walk out and begin to learn. That's the key word, begin to learn how it is that we're to live and what our purpose is as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Play that.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. Never be me without freedom in, knowing my life is better off in your hands. The past is gone, what's done is done. Now I'm alive, and I'm never gonna look back. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without. My freedom here, my freedom here.
Come on, we can do better than that. You're free. So I said it's worth celebrating. It's worth meditating on what it is that God has done for us. The freedom that we have. Now what happens is, because we ain't completely sanctified yet, we have this tendency to focus on our weaknesses, our sin, what we haven't accomplished yet, what we haven't overcome yet, but we're fighting to overcome, are we not? The Declaration of Independence was signed, but they had to fight to overcome the enemy. They had to overcome the oppression. And that's what the enemy still, to this day, is trying to oppress God's sons and daughters, saying that you are not perfect. Look what you've done. Look what you've said. Look at your life. Look at your shortcomings. Look at that sin that so easily entangles you. How could you be free? And we start listening to those lies. And we start trying to work it out in our flesh instead of dependent upon Him. We need to be dependent upon God. How is it that we as a church are dependent upon God? How do you become dependent upon God? You have to know Him. You're never going to experience freedom to its fullest without having that relationship with Christ. You came here today not to hear me. You came here today, hopefully, because you can hear me and yet not listen, right, hon? Shema. You can hear the vibration going off your ears. Shane hears me and he hears something totally different. Like, oh my gosh, here he goes again. But he's not listening. That's why he has to hear me more and more and more. Until I know that he's heard me, he's listened, and he's now obeying what was said. To hear is not just to hear, it's not just to listen, but you have to obey. That's true hearing. Hear, O Israel. That wasn't just, oh, hear me, here's what I have to say, and then that was it. Hear, O Israel, came with listening and then having action to back that up. If you want to experience freedom to its fullest, you're going to have the action to back it up. You're going to have to do what it says that you need to do. You're going to have to surrender your will to God. How's that freedom? What better place to be but in the hands of God? Who would know best what is needed for our life here on earth but God? Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and the release from darkness for the prisoners. Now that's a very profound statement. Because that statement in Isaiah is speaking to each and every one of you. You were there. This is where we were. Right? How many here had broken hearts when they got saved? Anybody have a broken heart? Did anybody feel that they were captive in darkness? This was speaking to us. Amen? Go to Luke, go to the next slide. Now, you have the same thing here in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Now, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Who's he? Jesus. He's the one that sets us free. Jesus is saying that he's going to set us free. It can't get any better than that. We're going to eventually go home to be with our Heavenly Father, to be with Jesus. It can't get any better than that. How many here are going through any kind of a storm in their life? Anybody got an issue in their life? Physical, financial, emotional. Anybody? I would have to venture to say, unless you're dead, everybody. There's some kind of an issue that you're dealing with. Unless you're dead. Jesus was able to sleep through the storm. The disciples, on the other hand, they allowed fear to come in. Jesus spoke to the storm and calmed it. So if you're going through an issue, a storm in life, as it was said earlier, you want to sit at the feet of Jesus. Is he shaken up by the storm that's in your life? Is he no longer king of our hearts because of the storm in your life? It hasn't wavered him. It hasn't shook him up. It hasn't brought doubt to his mind of his purpose for you. We want to seek him. It says if you seek him, he will be found. Amen? Next slide. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You can see everywhere, including at times us, we use our freedom to indulge the flesh. It's everywhere. People will tell you that they're free to do whatever they want. Sin, whatever. But it says here that we're not to do that. We're not to use that freedom that we have, that free will, that choice, to indulge the flesh, to indulge the sinful nature, to feed that sinful nature, to strengthen it. But we're to run from that. We're to flee from that temptation. We're to go to the cross. Amen? This is Martin Luther wrote, a Christian man is the most free Lord of all and subject to none. A Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. We can be a Christian and we can be free. Free to what? Free to be a servant. We have many, many, if not everybody, serve. We were just talking about the picnic. There's three people's names that went out real quick that's going to be serving at the picnic. Thank God for servants. People that are willing to serve in humility and love. Ricardo and all your partners there, Nathan, right? And Eli, thank you. Thank you for that love. That is a show of love and humility to serve us so that we don't have to be over that hot grill in the heat. And we as a people, we take that for granted. Well, thanks. Okay. Good luck. We appreciate it. That a boy. You know, new scene in my house. Thanks for cowboying up, Ricardo. You need to cowboy up. Amen? Next slide. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is spirit. With an ever-increasing glory. Has anybody here, once they got saved, ever increased in the transformation and looking like Christ? Are you the same as when you got saved? So everybody's taking steps. Everybody has some growth. And sometimes you look around and you think, man, I just think, I'm not getting this. I'm not growing. You know? What's going on? It's sort of like when you know, now that we got a little bit of property, sort of like when you cut down a tree and you see those rings, right? You'll see those rings where they seem like they're outstretched real far. And then you'll see those rings on that tree, they're real tight together. And they tell you that the rings that are real tight together was when it wasn't a lot of water to feed that tree. I mean, it's sustained itself, but it didn't grow much. You know, but if that tree is being watered, then there's that growth where it gets to reach out and go deep and further and bigger. That water representing the Holy Spirit. Do we feed ourselves on the Word of God? Do we wake up just like breakfast? And my wife, thank God, I'm a breakfast person. I'm a morning person. You know, actually I'm a lunch person and a supper person too. Now that I think about it. I like when she cooks. You know, you wake up to that nice breakfast and you're able to partake. You know your day is looking good. You're going to be energized, satisfied. Do we do that with God? Is our desire truly, you're battling that nature, is our desire truly to get up and say, God, I need to spend some time with you. And if our desire is waning, God, give me the desire to spend time with you. Give me the desire to overcome this flesh that would rather lay in bed. Give me the desire to overcome the way that I schedule my time. Because don't make no mistake, we as humans, and having had a sinful nature, if we don't keep it under subjection, we will find ourselves doing the things we want to do. We can make time for the things we want to do. You know, we will take those things that we've committed ourselves to and cancel that to do the things that we want to do. I mean, we've all been there. It's like, oh, I mean, I can't believe I said I'd do that. That was 2 weeks out, and I committed to that. I'm going to have to call them up, tell them I can't do that. And then we call them up. I know that you were moving and whatnot, but I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm sorry about that, brother. Okay? They're like, yeah, all right. Now, don't dare ask what they were going to do in. Well, you know, what happened was, you know, I just happened to come across some tiger tickets that was given to me. And, you know, who would want to look a gift horse in the mouth and pass up that free money, go to a tiger game? Right? There's the other side of the coin. Let's not make any commitments because something better may come along. And then that way we don't have to let nobody down. You don't make no commitments to anything. Wait for that better thing to come around and say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Because if every one of us was asked, well, let me see, do you got any plans, Ray, 30 days out on this particular day, on a Sunday? You got any plans after church? Can you tell me what they are? All right, you want to get together and we'll go out to eat and bring your wife? Because I know my wife and hers wanting to get together. They may not want us there, but they still wanted to get together. And we'll go out to eat. Now, find Ray, you don't have to say yeah yet because you were going to pay. Right? That was in the fine print. I whispered it. Right? But find out what happens over those 30 days, what's going to come up that's going to want to turn around and take place of doing that very thing. It happens all the time. It even happens on a Sunday. How many here are going to rest today? Okay, we got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 people are going to rest. The rest are going to be working somehow or another, finishing their chores, doing something. Because, you know, something always comes up. And you know what? And like I tell my wife, because she'd be one of the ones wanting to do her chores. As I says, honey, you know what? You can get them chores done today. Go right ahead. I'll guarantee you there'll be more Monday. There'll be more Tuesday. There's going to be even more Wednesday. They seem to keep coming. Where some of us have that mindset, if I could just get to this place, then I'll be able to rest. Right, Alex? If I just, you know, I'm busy, but if I can just get this stuff done, then I'll rest. If I had just a little bit more wheat in my barn, then I could take it easy. What I speak to you guys is rest. take some time to truly rest, to get in God's presence, to get with family like Wednesday. Be intentional about it. Be purposeful about it. You weren't set free to be busy. Yes, we have responsibilities as the sons and daughters of God, but you were not set free to be busy. That includes even being busy fixing the house. It'll never get done. When you get it done, guess what? You're starting over. You're starting over. You know? When you think you're getting it done and you're close, your wife will change your mind about the color scheme. She'll change your mind about everything. And you'll be starting over. You know, we used to have, I would actually have my wife sign the paint chip. And I thought that would work. This is the color it's going to be. Now, I have to have her sign it and date it and say, this is good for 5 years. It's just a little tip for those that's getting married, right, Jesse? We've been set free, people. And we've been set free into some that we truly maybe don't fully understand. And we lose sight of what we've been set free into because of the storms of life. It seems to wear on us. Has the storms of life ever wore on you? You know, they just want to get you down. I know that it's funny because the other day I've talked with Mark. Is Mark in here? Mark's not in here. Where's he at? He's ushering. Is he out escorting somebody out right now? And he told me he was going to be on his game. He must be throwing somebody out of the church right now. All right, my son's still here. It's okay. It's not him. But I talked with Mark, and I had asked him to pray for me, because in this particular hand, I got carpal tunnel. So these four fingers are numb. You know, I thought I could make money by showing people I could stab them and not cry. I don't know, but make something good come of it. Right? And then over the winter, I slipped and fell, and I thought I broke something in my wrist. And they took x-rays. They said no. So now I'm thinking I might have tore a tendon or something, because it hurts all the time. And I'm like, really? Now that wouldn't be bad if I worked with my mind, but I don't have a mind, my wife says. I work with my hands. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that just a coincidence that I work with my hands and both my hands are giving me trouble? And I was telling my wife, listen, I'm speaking to the enemy. Enough is enough. Unless you're going to make me rich, God, and I don't know about it yet, I need my hands to be able to provide, to be able to work. How many of us are speaking to our storms, speaking to the issues we have? How many of us have taken those issues and talked to somebody else to get counsel on them? To get somebody to stand alongside you, to fight with you, and to fight until you see a breakthrough. How many here want a breakthrough? Do we really want a breakthrough? Or are we kind of gotten like the Israelites get, and we think, you know what? This is not good. This is just taking too long to get to the promised land. I think we're better off not even knowing God. I was better off being ignorant of who God was and what he'd done for me. Amen? We get into that place, we believe the lies. My one goal is that you understand that you're free and what it means. And you're only going to understand that is if you study the Word. To truly know what it is that God done for you, if you spend time with Him, have a relationship with Him. We're going to end with one song. I'd like to thank the sound team. In all honesty, their best efforts to take what I had on my iPad looked like that. It was supposed to be, I was supposed to be able to use this as a remote. And you would have had a video with that song. But as Sarah well knows, when it comes to me and electronics, and I haven't lost my touch. Everything, as Pastor Don would say, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong, and I'm like, okay, we'll be fine. But we're going to play this last song. It's one of my wife's favorites.
Now set free, oh Lord, I set free, oh Lord, I set free.
Before I release you, I need the prayer team up here. The thing is, we're family here. God put us in a family. So if any of you are experiencing something and you just want a touch from God, come up and get prayer. You don't have to fight alone. You don't even have to tell us what it is. Just come up and just say, you know, I just really want God to move. I want him to reveal himself. I want to spend some time with him. I want him to speak to me. I want him to heal me. I want him to do what God does and do what it does, what he does best. I just want him to love on me. I want to feel his love this week. Amen? That's it. You're released. Coffee and donuts upstairs.